Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can, and if you can't, stand up. I don't care. It's such a high honor to be here once again, and we love Melbourne because it's cool. This is the beginning of your, I guess, fall or winter, whatever it is, and in New Orleans, it's Africa hot. And last night, we had a marvelous meeting, and it was cold in Canberra. Is that right? But in that building, it was, good God, had to be at least 30 Celsius. Everybody sweating like a mule, man. Good God. But it's such an honor to be here, and I thank both of you for allowing me to be a part of this. And me and Jerry were very, very close friends. It was a gut punch, I guess, if you want to say it such as that. But he has not passed. He has arrived. See, a lot of people don't understand that. And I talked to him 2 days before he exited out to heaven, and I was preaching, and he said, Jess, I got to go to the house. You got to feed me. And he always come, and he would go to my theater and eat ice cream till he was drugged, you know, glazed over. You know, he loved ice cream. My God. And we had such a wonderful time. So I thank you. Do we have any visiting ministers or ministers' wives? If you're that, would you stand to your feet if you're a minister or a minister's wife? Please stand. Give them a hand clap. What a blessing of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says, how can they hear unless they have a preacher? So there's no way you can get laid off like we say in America. God's word is so true. And we had the last time we were in Australia was 2019, and we were planning on coming in 2020, and then the COVID hit and all that kind of stuff, and everything shut down, but we didn't shut down. We just kept going, and they say, we'll arrest you. I said, I've been in jail before. I mean, no difference, you know. And we didn't. I mean, Americans will defy the government sometimes, you know. We fought a war with England, and we won. but they're great allies. They're misunderstanding. It's such a blessing. My wife of almost 54 years is here. Would you give her a microphone? I want her to say something. Come on, Kathy. Come on. Help her up here, Fritz. This is the Reverend Dr. I am a doctor of divinity, and they always call Jerry Dr. Savelle. I'm like Kenneth Coleman. Just call me Jesse. Nothing wrong with being Dr. the planet. It's wonderful. But Kathy, say something for me.
I just call him Jesse.
Yes.
Such a
blessing. And a lot of other things.
Yeah. Nice things. Nice things, most of the time. So great to be here. I just want to say thank you to the family. We were greeted at the airport with beautiful gifts and a lovely binder filled with letters from the church, some of the church people. And Jessica and I got to read that during the drive to the hotel, and it so blessed us. How many people were here last time we were here at the church? Well, wonderful. Thanks for coming back. We're expecting great things tonight. You know, I was just thinking while we were sitting here how much I love Jesus and how he so transformed my life when I got born again back in 1973. So over 50 years ago, I've come to know Jesus, and each day it gets sweeter. And Jess and I love going around the world telling people how wonderful he is. And, of course, in 1976 is when he preached his first sermon. And, you know, Jesse is just so consistent. All these years, he's always had four things that he always says, no, I'm not doing that. That's just what he said. When I told Jesse, you need to get born again, I was saved first. And then he said, no, I'm not going to get born again. That. After a while, just example, you call to the ministry, no. We're going to start a church, no.
No.
So he's very consistent. First it's no, then it's maybe. Then it's okay, let's do it. And fourth is, I'm so glad I thought of that. But we have a unique relationship. We didn't know Jesus when we got born again, but knowing Jesus makes all the difference in your life. And this is why we're here tonight. We wanted to just make sure that you receive from anybody came ready to receive something. Praise. Can I just see hands? I've just been in so many services with Jesse and many other services as well, of course, but it's so important that you come expecting. And, you know, there doesn't have to be a special moment. I believe that when you leave this place tonight, you'll realize that God has supernaturally touched you and strengthened you. I remember being in some services. Well, I answer a lot of the letters in the mail years ago. So people help me now, but I remember reading one where someone was just in a service, and they said, you know, Jesse preached and prayed for me, but we didn't hear about the miracle till after we got back to the office, and he was saying how he had a large growth in his neck, and it was almost like another head was coming out, and it instantly was healed. You know, God does miracles. Amen. Lives are put back together. All you have to do is trust in Jesus, and he will turn your situation around. No matter what you're going through, he is big. He's a big God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, God bless you. I don't want to take up all your time. I know you're ready.
Go ahead, Kathy.
That's fine. I just thought I'd warm the boy up, you know, just warm him up.
Give her a good hand clap. That's Kathy. Hallelujah. For you that don't know much about me, I was not raised in church like, you know, most church people are. I was christened and confirmed a Catholic boy, but my mother and father did get born again. And that's when I found out that my mama got the God stuff. And man, I just was not into that, you know. I never thought of God as a person. You know, I was a Catholic. I thought of God as the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Anybody ever been Catholic at least once? Well, you know, yeah, it's weird. You didn't talk to God. Now, who do you think you are that you could talk to God? You talked to the priest. You didn't confess to God. He's mad. Leave him alone. He'll kill you. You know, that's what I thought, you know. And how many of you, y'all went to confession if you were? Now, put your hand up. How many of you told the truth? Lie like a dog in there, man. Now, you Protestants have no idea what I'm talking about, you know. But thank the Lord that on Labor Day, we call it Labor Day weekend in America, I got born again in 1974. Didn't know what that meant to be born again. I was lucky I was born once, my dad said. And I only knew two preachers, and that was the Pope and Billy Graham. And both of them were on television, you know, at that time. And I'll never forget, didn't know how to pray salvation. Never had prayed, believe with your heart, confess it. Didn't even know that existed. And in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts, or a restroom, whatever you call it, and I didn't know how to pray. I don't know why I'm saying this, but the Lord said, say it. And I was taught never to cry. I did not cry. We weren't allowed to cry because I was a man. But I was only five. But that didn't make no difference. My brother one time nailed me to a stump like Jesus Christ. I was crucified. I'm not kidding. I got the scars to prove it in my hand. And just like Jesus, praise God. And man, my God, my grandfather came over there with a crowbar. Y'all know what a crowbar is? And stuck that thing, and he said, this is going to smarts a little, boy. But we don't cry here. We men. And I went, okay. I was lying like a dog, man. I was hurting, boy. But I didn't, and it was very hard for me to show emotion and things that I did growing up and things of that nature. But when the Lord came in, and I'll never forget it, in that bathroom, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't. I just, something was happening. And finally, my salvation prayer, you know, I just heard Billy Graham. And, man, you got to understand what I looked like. I was a rocker, you know. I mean, I had a head on the hair. I was, you know, on the big circuit with Led Zeppelin and Grand Funk and Alice Cooper and all that kind of stuff. And girls just screaming, and that was your grandma that was screaming. That's exactly the truth, you know. And I didn't know how to pray, so I said, whatever Billy said, I got born again. God took that as my salvation prayer. Because I didn't know how else to say it. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? And from that point on, it's just been glorious. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight, but I don't pay attention to it. Amen. You know, people say, why are you so happy? I don't pay attention to the devil. Amen. And some people act like the devil, and I don't pay attention to them neither. You know, it's just that simple. So thank you for coming. Come quickly, Fritz. How many of y'all have ever heard me talk about Fritz Brown? That's him. He's wanting royalties now, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and been with me 40 years. Me and him have been together 40 years. Isn't that something? A generation of Israel. That's true. That's what it is. Hallelujah. So real quickly, we brought some resource material. You know, I was raised very poor, and I wasn't ashamed of that. My mother and father did the best they could. I ain't poor no more. And because I realized that poverty is a curse. And everybody thinks it's about money. But I've seen people very wealthy that were so poor, poverty of spirit. So I wrote a book called Living at the Top. How many of you want to live at the top? See, it doesn't make no difference what anybody says. It makes all the difference what God said. if you want to do what Jesus do in life, he only did two things in his whole ministry. He said, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father says to do. That's so simple that you need a theologian to help you misunderstand it. You know, you're trying to work this thing. You know, you don't have to work it. It'll work you. And living at the top. And I've noticed something in the deepest, darkest depths of the oceans, and we just crossed that Pacific Ocean to get here. If you go down that deep, you'll find that the fish have no eyes because it's totally darkness, you see. And there's a lot of people, they have eyes but no perception, see. And but see, when you begin to get to go to the top, the light begins to come on. And I hope you can get this book. It will bless you. Prosperous God's Way and Avoid the Pitfalls of Success. You know, you don't fall in love with money. You know, people say, that money bad. Let me make an announcement today. If money is so bad, how come you have a hard time giving it away? You know, if you eat something's bad, you spit it out, right? If you don't like me, you know, evidently it must not be bad because you hang on to it with everything you got. It's not bad. It is not bad. If you fall in love with it, it's bad. It's the love of money. Not money. You live in an economic world. You ought to know that. I mean, man, they shut down Melbourne so tight. What a dumb, stupid thing. You know what the virus did? Hey. Well, I'm kind of, that virus is going to get me. I got a mask on my face. Come on, man. That virus will go right through the mask. You know what I'm saying? But people, that's what fear does. Fear will make you lose your mind, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I hope you can get this. Who wants this book? Anybody wants this book? Come, sweetheart. I'll give it to you right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There you go. Thank you. Oh, you okay? Thank you. I like your hat. It looks good. All right. I wrote this book called The Hidden Help. This is about angelic beings. I've had many encounters with angels of the Lord, and I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. So have you. Every one of you have talked to an angel, but you've done it unaware. You didn't realize it. The Bible said we've entertained angels unaware. Is this too loud? Is it? I don't know. Okay, good. And I'm telling you, so I begin to talk about my encounters with angels and things of that nature, and it's just such a blessing. Now, most people don't understand something about angelic beings. You can't count them. They're innumerable. Now, you can count human beings. There's about 7.8 to 8 billion people on the planet today, and since we know about the human beings, about 2 billion have passed away going way back, you know, what they call thousands and, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. But you can't count angels. You know why? Angels are ministering spirits. They're servants. God's very busy. And he needs people to do the work that he's doing. And he uses angels. But then he gave, and the reason why Satan hated Adam so much, Adam got his job. And God made you. And let me tell you something. You're so important that you're the only species that God has ever created that can sit down in his presence. Angels cannot. Stand at attention. Why? And you know about Michael the Archangel, the war angel, of course, Gabriel the messenger, and Lucifer before he became Satan. But there's a great angel a lot of people don't know much about. His name is Metatron. Metatron something. Metatron is the Jehovah angel. Look at y'all. You never heard that before. Oh, yeah. He's the angel that guided Israel across the desert. Some people said it was Jesus. No. You know why I know it wasn't? Because God said, do not provoke that angel, because he will not forgive your trespasses. Now, Jesus would forgive you, but you don't mess with Metatron. And he's the angel that showed up at the burning bush before God showed up. Go see it. You'll see the difference. He's the Jehovah angel. And I tell you, and you need to know these things, about the different angels and things that are happening. So I hope you can get this. Now, who wants this one? Okay, ma'am, you want this here? Come on up here. Oh, don't y'all wish y'all had been on the front row, huh? Okay, stay there. I'm going to try to give this away in the back. I love this book, and I will always offer it because it's got a picture of me. You know, when you haven't read the Bible, and Kathy got born again and had never read the Bible, we were told don't read the Bible. Only the priest can interpret the Bible, so we didn't. But one of the most wonderful things about that I didn't have to unlearn things I call churchy stuff. You know, I never learned to doubt in any way, shape, or form. I know nothing of doubt till today. See, doubt is it's mental anemia. It's actually a form of atheism. You see, when you doubt God's word, you doubt that he exists. You want to prove that to you? St. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. and the Word was with God. So when you say, I don't believe that, you don't believe that he exists. And I want to tell you something, this book here, I mean, this is me. And I said, and people say, how can he do what he does? You know, I go all over the world. I never charge people anything. I receive an offering not to meet my expenses. No. Why would I do that? I don't know what they are. See, God gave me a wonderful statement in 1978. Jerry really loved this. He couldn't get over that. He said, but Jesse, man, that is amazing. Man. God told me, he said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. See, in the church world, trying to get you to pay instead of to believe. Now, when you believe, you'll more than pay for it. And I mean, this thing here will minister life. And in chapter 16, children are born believers until you teach them to doubt. So why would you do that? Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, you're not God's children. You know, you're not God's adults. No, you aren't. You're God's children. My daughter is 52 years old. I only have one daughter, one granddaughter, and she's freaking out over that age. She said, Dad, can you believe it? That you got a daughter 52 years old? I said, yeah, I was there when you was born. I paid for you. I got you out the hospital. You was born naked, and I bought you a dress. And I've been buying you dresses ever since. Praise God. So this will bless you. Who wants this book in the back? Oh, she's on the front row. Sorry, Mama. Okay. Fritz, give it to who you want. And if you don't like, kill him. Don't do nothing to me. Just leave me alone. So Fritz is going to give it to you, and you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'll tell you what. I'll do something nice. At the close of the service, go back to the book table, and you can have one for free. How's that? Now, the rest of y'all got to pay for it. You understand? No. Stand to your feet one more time. Stretch a little bit. If you have to rub something, rub it quick. Want to get it over with? Praise God. Okay, you can be seated. I just want to make sure everything's fine. How many people brought your Bibles or your iPads or your telephones? I don't know, whatever you use as scripture. And I just love the word of the Lord. And is anybody here a partner to my ministry? You know, God gave me a theme, and I've been writing partner letters to send it out to everybody on, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Give God a job. And so many people don't seem to understand that. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna preach a little bit on that theme again. And you that are watching, I believe we're live streaming, is that correct? And you may have heard me do this, but you'll hear me say something that you hadn't heard me say, because that's the word of God. And I'll say this way. You know, people have adopted God's way of giving, but they have not adopted God's way of receiving. You see, in other words, they limit God of what he can do for you when you're his child. So if you got your Bibles, would you go with me once again to the book of Genesis? That's the first book of the Bible, chapter 18. I want to get into the word and speak a little bit here. And Genesis chapter 18, I want to start reading with verse 9. And it goes like this. And they said, this is the angels of the Lord. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now, God don't care if you're 90 years old. You do. That don't bother him. And Abraham's 100. That don't bother God at all. Watch this. And let me read verse 10 again. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So she was so far past menopause. That was all gone. Abraham, I mean, it ain't happening. He's 100 years old. Viagra has not yet been invented. It ain't happening. It's over. Okay? I haven't experienced that yet. Just thought I'd tell y'all that. Praise the Lord. Don't let the white hair fool you. But anyway, now watch this. Let me read verse 11 again. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now watch verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, look at me. She didn't laugh out loud. Everybody thought she laughed out loud. She laughed within herself, and God heard it. See, he will hear your thoughts. He will hear you. I mean, you don't have to say something for him to hear you. You can say it inside. See, most people think she laughed and they heard, She did this all within herself. You know, women are kind of private, you know what I'm saying, on certain things. Good Lord. Laugh within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of a surety bear a child which am old? Now, verse 14 is where I want to get to. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. See, and when I read that, the Lord said, your theme for 2024 to all your partners and friends is give me a job. You see, why would you limit a God that's unlimited? Give him a job. Why can't you accept the 30, the 60, the 100-fold? And let's just be honest, but just too much. He is a God of too much. He's got too much mercy. He got too much grace. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. Yeah. That's a fact. You know, but he said, but that's just so astronomical. And you'd be surprised how the church world don't believe that. Well, I know he said that, but that's your problem. You need to get your butt out of the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, no. Well, give God a job. Now, I've had some of the biggest preachers in the world, and if I name them, you know them, they say, I don't see how I can fly that jet all over the world, because it costs a lot of money to fly that jet, and he never never asked anybody for expenses. Why? I serve a God that's not broke. He's El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. And he said, is there anything too hard for me? I didn't ask you to pay for nothing. I just asked you to believe for it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? See, I don't care what the government's doing. I don't deny it. I deny its right to affect me. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just didn't take any. I've had people say, who do you think you are? I said, sit your ugly self down. I'm going to tell you who I am. And I just quote Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was our form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters, and God said, let's make Jesse. Why do you like to be called Jesse? Well, that's what Jesus called me. I call him Jesus. He calls me Jesse. I don't call him Reverend Christ. He don't call me Reverend DePlanet. There's nothing wrong with that. I call him Jesus. He calls me Jesse. Both our names starts with a J. Something spiritual about that. I don't know what it is, but I kind of like it. So when you understand that, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. That's your problem. You need to go through it. See, a lot of people stop and build a house and canonize the place. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, though I stop, build a house and say, I tried that. I didn't try to come across that water. I did. Just that simple. And there's a lot of water out there. I mean, and some long legs. I'm talking flying long. But God has been so good. So it doesn't make no difference what the world does, but it makes all the difference what God has done and what he will do and what he's going to do. You see this? So if you're taking notes, would you write this down? To get in touch with God, we have to use his language. Now, what is his language? He does have a language. Let me say it again. To get in touch with God, you have to use his language. If you want something, you have to say something. See, a lot of people, they don't understand. A mountain's not going to move until you talk to it. But the church world hadn't taught you to talk to mountains. They made you a mountain climber. They didn't make you a mountain dissolver. See, you've climbed mountains in your life that you never needed to climb. All you had to do is talk to it. Yeah, but suppose it don't work. Well, it won't work with that kind of attitude. You're already defeating yourself, see. So that's his language, to say what he said, Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said, what things soever you desire, not what God desire. Okay, I lost this crowd. Let me go over here. Not what God desire. That's the church where I was talking that mess. He said, what things soever you desire, that when you pray, believe that you receive. Not when you see it, yes. Not when you get it, yes. But when you pray, yes. Believe that you receive, amen. And you shall have it. Amen. Now, I'm going to say a very important statement. It's the most important statement tonight I'm going to say. Never, everybody say never.
Never.
Listen to me. Never mix faith and time, because time will become your enemy. Now, I want to ask you something, Peter. Have you ever had anybody leave your church? See, he laughs. Do camels drink water? Yeah. Now, why did they leave? Now, a lot of times, pastors and priests say, well, maybe I said something they didn't like. No, let me tell you why they left. And if you're a pastor, you listen to me. Actually, they embraced what you said. They liked what you said. They said, man, I like that message. My God. But you see, it didn't happen fast enough. And then after a while, they said, you see, that stuff don't work. So I'm out of here. See, they're about ready to break through, and they just go through. You see what I'm saying? The reason why they left, they mixed faith and time. And the Bible says explicitly, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you reap. If you faint not.
Amen.
You see, that's God's language. Yes. What things have you desired when you pray? Now, here's something else that a lot of people don't understand. You know, they don't get this at all. It's so amazing to me. Have you ever been in a mall or going somewhere and you walk by maybe a jewelry store or maybe a dress shop, and you see a dress or a piece of jewelry, and you go, ooh, good Lord, look at that. That's nice, huh? Now, it might be too expensive for you to buy, but you go, ooh, but it kind of touches you. Have you ever thought in your finite mind that God put that desire in your heart so you could ask him for it? Okay. Let me go over here. Have you ever thought in your finite mind that God put that inside of you so you could ask him for it? The Bible says ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Oh, but that's greed. No, that's God saying, give me a job. Let me do something here. You know, and I may have said this here before, and it freaks out people when I say it, especially a preacher. Kathy used to tell me, you never ask God for a need. You never, Jesse, you never ask God for a need. I've had Jerry Savelle say, Jesse, don't ask God for a need or nothing. I never will. It's a waste of spiritual energy. Why would you do that? When God said he'll supply, how many need?
All.
How many need?
All.
How many need?
All.
Oh, let me get black with it. How many need, Lord? Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, we need some. Wait a minute. Uh-oh, now you're starting to think.
Yeah.
You see, I will never ask God for a need because he said he supplies all. So I don't tell God what I need. I tell him what I want. Oh, now some of y'all go, well, hang on a second. Because when you get what you want, you destroy all your need. When you have what you want, you don't even think about need. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Oh. Then he says, you shall not want. You'll never get to the point of would want. You shall not want. Now, that's what God says. Church world don't say that. The secular world don't say that. They say that's greed. No, no, no. That's growth.
Yeah.
Ladies, if you tell your husband what you need for Christmas, you're going to get a washing machine. That's not for you. That's for the house.
Yeah.
You want something personal.
Yeah.
That's not greed. When your children say, Mama, Grandma, I want something for Christmas. Is that greed? No. There's nothing wrong with that. And you're God's children.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. See, the spirit of faith, write this down. This will help you. The spirit of faith doesn't have the word guess in it.
Yeah.
See, everybody's guessing that God might. Never know what God's going to do. I know exactly what God's going to do. He's going to do what his word says.
Yes.
See, the spirit of faith doesn't have the word guess in it. What does faith do? It expands your way of thinking.
Yeah.
It expands your way of believing.
Yeah.
It expands your way of living. So thinking, believing, and living, that's what faith does. That's why I love faith. And the reason why it's invisible is because if you can't see it, neither can the devil. The devil's not a faith devil. The devil is a flesh devil. He never tempts you in the spirit. He can't. He's spiritually dead. Would you like me to prove that to you? Have you ever been tempted to tithe? No. And all you preachers here, Peter, has anybody ever said, Pastor, you're going to have to pray for me? Whew, this temptation to tithe is coming on me. No, why? Why? Because tithing is a spiritual concept.
Yeah.
Then you got preachers say, well, now that's not for the day. That's under the law. Your mama because tithing was before the law. But let me make it so simple that you can't misunderstand it. Are you Moses' seed? When God gave the Ten Commandments and wrote the law, was your name on the tablets? No. Right? Whose seed are you? Who? Ah, what did he do? Tithe to Melchizedek. In Hebrews chapter 7, New Testament, that Jesus is a high priest on the order of Melchizedek. Do you see that? It has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with your, quote, faith father named Abraham. Now, think about that for a minute. And when you understand that, see, you'll quit hearing about that foolishness because it's wrong. See, now, let me help you. Hey, this, you're going to really love that. You know why I know it's not about money? You know why I know it's not about money? God's never changed the rate. Never has changed the rate, been 10% all these time. The mortgage companies changed the rate because that's about money. The charge card companies, they changed the rate. It's about money. When you go to buy a car, they change the rate because it's about money. See, tithing is not about money. Tithing is about obedience. And the reason why so many people struggle, well, I can't afford the tithe. You're lying. You may not realize you're lying. I know. I'm getting out of town, so I'm just going to help you. See, I want you to give God a job. See, you've been trying to do God's work all these years by doing his work, and that's not your job, see. See, God told me when he gave me this thing, he said, keep me busy, Jesse, and I'll keep you busy. Man, I keep God running 90 to nothing, and he keeps me running 90 to nothing. So when you understand that the faith doesn't have the word guess in it, and why people, you know, I'd rather just people tell the truth. I had a guy tell me, he said, well, I don't believe tithing for today. I said, why don't you just tell the truth? You don't want to tithe. Just say it, man, for God's sake. You don't want to tithe, and that's okay. If you don't want to tithe, don't tithe. Am I shocking you? God's not going to, he's not going to take something from you you don't want to give. Listen to me, you don't want to tithe? Don't. But you know what? The devil going to kick your butt all the way down the street. You understand? Because the Bible said God rebukes the devourer for your sake. Not too long ago, I tried to rebuke the devil, and the Lord said, stop, Jesse. You don't do that. You a tither. I do that. He said, if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. See, and all this time you think it is about money, so that's why Satan puts that junk through preachers so that he can control what you have. Do you see that? Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about, understanding that language of God. So let me say it again. Don't let other people, in other words, the spirit of faith doesn't have the word guess in it because faith expands your way of thinking, expands your way of believing, expands your way of living. Now write this down. Don't let people's small thinking affect your big thinking. Just because they can't do it don't mean you can't do it. You're not trying to compete in any way. You just do what you do. Don't let someone small thinking affect your big thing. You can't have that. You can't do that. Wait, somebody lying, and it's you. Because God said, you can do how many things? What? When are we going to believe this Bible? When? We're going to wait another millennium. No. You see, that's why I was raised with no doubt. Yes. So when the devil said, you can't do that, I said, no. You can't do that. Yes. You can't do that. And you're trying to put you on me, and that don't work. Yes. You see what I'm saying? Because we can do all things through Christ. See, God is blessed when you stretch your view of what he can do. Boy, when you give God a job, and everybody said, man, quit believing that crazy word of faith. See, you're stretching your view of what God can do. I'm going to say something that you may have heard me say, that, and the women in this church is going to gasp. I'm prophesying it, and prophecy is history wrote in advance. You ready? Here we go. I have been to the state of Hawaii, like they say, at, I think 113 times. I mean, I've preached there, and that was Jerry's favorite place in the world. He said, in the millennial kingdom, he's going to be the governor of Hawaii. How many times have I been with him? I mean, we do Honolulu in a day. I mean, he just loved it, and it was a blessing. We had a lot of fun. Watch this. So now, you know, and when you understand what I'm about ready to say, you're going to understand this perfectly, you know, and because that's what he loved, and the state of Hawaii. So, and you know, I like it. So, you know, Kathy goes, and I'd really have a hard time relaxing and things like that. So when I go there, you know, I mean, Kathy, and I get her a suite and open them, and she opened up the curtains, you know, and man, the wind's blowing, and it's beautiful. She goes, Jesse. I said, what? Look at the ocean. I said, I seen it. It's water. Now watch this. Now, like Kathy tells me all the time, very seldom ever take vacations or holidays, but I don't put God out of my life. Some people say, you know, you need to go away and rest. And I believe in resting, but not resting from God. So I got up one morning. Kathy was still resting there at the Hilton Hawaiian Village in Honolulu. You may have been there. I don't know. Beautiful place. And I started going there because Jerry Sabell told me to go there. I usually would go to Maui, to the Grand Wale or something like that. He said, man, that way we could walk down Kalakaua Avenue. So I said, okay. So I go out there, and I'm just walking around like that. And I see this lady playing with her children. One little boy, six, seven. Then another one about maybe nine. And then another boy about 12 years old. And I noticed the father, he's throwing one of them, what they call those, Nerf balls, a spongy ball, you know, like a football. And she was sitting down, and I could hear the child say, come on, mama. But she wouldn't move much. You know, and I thought, I don't know these people from Adam, you know. So the father's there. So I saw her get up a little bit. And I noticed she had stretch marks. Stretch marks. So I walked up to her, and I said, hello. She said, hello. I said, I noticed you have stretch marks. Look at the women. Oh, don't judge me yet. Don't judge me. Her husband's hearing me say that. I said, I noticed you got stretch marks. She didn't know what to say. I said, You are life giver. You bear the marks of life. And she didn't know what she's going. Huh? I said, the Apostle Paul bore the marks of a Christian. He said, I bear the marks of a Christian. I said, you bear the marks of life. You didn't care about what would happen to your body. You just wanted to give life. I had a woman one time tell me, I am pro-choice. I said, I'm glad your mama wouldn't. Because we wouldn't be having this conversation. You understand what I'm saying? Now, her husband come up to me, tears in his eyes. And this is what he said. I've been telling her that a long time. I don't care. He said, she gave me three wonderful children. I think she's the most beautiful woman that's in the world. And he said, and she didn't know what to say. I said, girl, you ought to be the proudest person on this beach. You bear the marks of life. You a life giver. And that man was crying, and she started crying. It was so wonderful. She got free. She started playing with the kids, running up and down. Well, I went back to the hotel, and Kathy got up. I said, Kathy, I saw a woman on the beach. You did? Yeah, she was like, what are you looking at a woman for? You know, that kind of stuff. You know? And I said, and I know she had stretch marks, so I walked over and said, hey, you got stretch marks. Kathy said, you did what? You done lost your ever-loving mind, you old white-headed fool? I said, no. I said, there you go, judging me. I said, she got delivered. We saw her the next day. Her husband comes out. He said, man, I'm going to tell you something, man. And he said, you have delivered my wife. It's the most wonderful thing. She was now playing, throwing the ball. I mean, just enjoying herself, you know what I'm saying? And I said, Kathy, that's the lady. Repent, you heathen. Go ahead. See? Stretching. Give God a job. Stretching. See, God loves it when you stretch your view of him. Give me a job, Jesse. Okay, Lord. Spiritual, physical, financial, all three. You see, this faith has dew on it, you know, and dew is a refreshing thing. The dew of faith refreshes your mind and brings focus to your life. See, you focus on your priority, you eliminate all your confusion. Tell you another story real quick. I had some good friends, Carol and Cindy. They were wonderful. Cindy was a beautiful woman. Came to my house. This is at the very beginning of our. We were really friends with them. And Cindy wanted a baby. I ain't never seen a woman want a baby so bad in my life. She said, but Jay, I want a baby. I didn't want a baby, you know. And Carol, her husband, he crying, both of them crying. And they came to my house, you know. This is many, many, many years ago. And she said, but, you know, I can't have a baby because I had endometriosis, I think that's what it's called. Very bad, scarred her womb. The doc said, you can hang it up. You're never going to have a child. It's just the way it is. And she's crying. I said, Cindy, I don't deny what the doctor says. I mean, that's what he's a doctor for. But I said, you forgot Genesis. To be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. And once you have a baby, you're going to subdue all your life. I said, y'all want to have a baby? Oh, yeah. They just looked at me like this. And I could hear the devil, oh, buddy, you're going to look like a fool. I don't mix faith and time. God's a timeless being. So am I, because I'm creating his image and his likeness. I said, so let us pray. I didn't pray long. We got in a circle. Remember that guy in the living room? I said, Jesus. He said, what? I said, Cindy and Carol want to have a baby. He said, okay. Now, they've been trying a good while, but, you know, it was no, you know, they, I don't know. Maybe they accepted that she never could. I don't know. But it hurts. So we prayed maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds, if that much. Then I looked at him, I said, go home. Let nature take its course. Go. He said, come on, Cindy. 9 months to the day, Courtney was born. She's now an evangelist. And she has to be at least 40, huh? I would say probably. Yeah, she's an evangelist. 9 months later to the day. 11 months later, they had another baby. 11 months later, they had another baby. Carol came to my house with Cindy. He said, Brother Jesse, man, we got to stop this. This is a true story. I'm not kidding you. He said, my God, man. He said, you think God can close her womb? I said, Carol, you don't want to have no more babies anymore? Man, no. I said, well, quit sowing. Quit sowing. And Cindy said, he can't. He can't quit. So I just look at him. Woo! And he go bananas. True story. No, I'm doing it fine. So when you understand, there's no guesswork in that. What did God say? Yeah, but you see, you're taking somebody else's opinion. I'm not denying that what they're saying is true. I deny it's right to affect you. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Well, give God a job. You see, when you understand, which if you focus on your priority, you eliminate all your confusion. See, that's consistency. See, consistency of belief refuses to be double-minded, which is instability. I refuse to be double-minded. And how that comes is through time. Well, my God, you ain't got that yet. Now, Jerry Savelle, I mean, great guy. How many of y'all hear me talk for years that I was going to get a Falcon 7X? Anybody remember that? I don't know if you do in Australia. I mean, persecuted all over the world. You might have seen it on television 4 years ago. You think I care about them? Take a hike. I don't care what they say. They ain't going to judge me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have it now. And I was about ready to fly it over to Fort Worth for Jerry to see. Jerry just said, he said, Jesse, let me tell you something. They ain't no preacher ever done. I said, Jerry, don't say that. I'm not looking to be number one. I don't want to be by myself. He said, well, my God, if you can have one, I can have one too. They cost a brand new $54 million. Look at y'all. Hang on. Didn't ask me to pay for it. Asked me to believe for it. See, pressure's gone. That's giving God a job. He said, man, I just got to see that thing. Now, I personally believe it, and I'm getting it. I've flown it about 10 times, but I want to do something else with it. So it'll be back. When I get back home on the 21st or 22nd, I think it comes in on the 24th out of all the things that I wanted to do. I can't prove this is true. You can't prove it's not. But the Bible says, so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, you can't be a witness unless you witness something, right? Yep. They ain't going to call you a witness unless you witness something. I believe God's going to pull back the curtain and say, Jerry Savelle, look at Jesse play. Yep. Yep. Why not? Now, he don't need one no more. He can fly faster than that plane. Let me make this announcement. I believe in the rapture. I had a man tell me that. I don't believe in the rapture. I said, well, stay here. Stay here. But if the rapture takes place tonight, now y'all were at, but I have a Falcon 9. That's a fine plane. That's a very big plane. It's now Kathy's plane. Anywhere in the world, two stops. The 7X is anywhere in the world, one stop. Let me say this. If the rapture takes place tonight, you can have the plane. I don't need it. I can't wait for that wonderful and glorious day. You see, so when you understand what I'm saying here, consistency of belief refuses to be double-minded, which is instability. So now we have that. And then people go, well, how do you think you are? I just smile. And this happened the other day. Kathy loved my answer. We went into this jewelry store where Kathy gets her stuff. And I know the owner real well. And it's a really nice jewelry store. They got a lot of people working and things. And there was a lady come up to me. She was a worker. You know, they call them sale associates, you know. Now, and she said, hey, I heard you got that new plane. I said, yeah. And I said, the Falcon 900, that's a beautiful plane. What I flew here with? I mean, I said, you got two? I said, oh, yeah. And this other sale associate who doesn't like me, and I don't know why, I don't know her, she said, I like to know why you need two planes. And I wanted to say, let me tell you something. No. No, can't say that. I said, I'm going to tell you how. And I saw Kathy look, boy, and everybody got quiet in the jewelry store. I said, how come you have more than one sale associate? Why do y'all have so many of them? She said, well, we do a lot of business here. I said, I do a lot of business globally. And everybody just smiled. I said, it's not about having something. I do a lot of business. I'm about the Father's business. You see, she goes, okay, I understand that. All I did was apply it to her. Because if she didn't believe that, then she's out of a job. See, they took more than one associate to work in this jewelry store. That's where Joel Osteen met Victoria, in a jewelry store. Instead of getting a ring, he got the woman. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. So when you understand that, see, I refuse to be double-minded. See, giving God a job is a scriptural wake-up call. It's an activator. It activates something in you. What does it activate? It says God works through you and with you. God will not do things possible. That's your job. Yes. God only shows up when it becomes impossible. Yeah. Totally. Well, you can't do it because then you can't get any glory on it in any way, shape, or form. All the glory goes to him. Amen. I mean, I don't know how to fly the plane. My pilots are here. I don't know if they may be here tonight somewhere. They know how to. They can't buy the plane. I can't fly the plane. But if we get together, we're in Melbourne. Australia. Yeah. Last night in Canterbury. The night before, where were we? Brisbane. Yeah. Tomorrow night, Perth, right? Yeah. Just go flying all over there. I don't know about any other preacher that's come to Australia. I have preached in every state of Australia and every territory. Because I said I would. I went to Tasmania and preached in Hobart. Had a wonderful time. I even preached in Toowoomba. Boy, that'll make you speak in tongues, Toowoomba. Yeah. You see, because I told the Australian people that I would do that. You know how much money that is? No, you don't know, and neither do I. Why? He didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it. Now, I receive an offering, but not to meet my expenses. It goes to a project of what we're going to do coming up or whatever as God leads. See? Now, let me tell you something. Money's not a bad thing. You live in an economic world. I mean, I wish the utilities were free, but they're not, huh, Peter? You got to pay for it. Yeah, see? You know, wouldn't it be nice to go to the grocery store and just get all the groceries you want and not have to pay nothing? But, you know, somebody's in the grocery business and they're selling groceries. So if you can't believe God, believe Spock and live long and prosper. This is a Hebrew sign from God. Did you know that? He was Jewish, Leonard Nimoy. Saw it in a Jewish, and he said, I'm going to use that greeting you know, in the Star Trek series. Everybody knows what this is. It's a God sign. Now, some people, they're going to get mad when they get to heaven. I don't believe in that prosperous stuff. Then you can't go to heaven. You're going to get mad at Jesus. You're going to walk up there, and there's gold streets, man. Diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby, pearly gates. I'm talking, this is a fine place. In my Father's house are many. So were you going to tell Jesus? No, Jesus. This ain't right. We're from Australia. You got a trailer? No, I ain't got no trailer. There ain't nothing wrong with a trailer. That's a roof over your head. Thank God you got one. I don't have any problem with that. No, Jesus. You know we're going to say? Well, then go to hell. Oh, that's not cussing in Louisiana. That's a location. You better get used to this because you're going to be in it for eternity. See, so when you understand that, that's a scripture wake-up. It's an activator to give God a job. See, that's what happens when you do that. Inward perception begins to take place, which is an inner choice to defer to God's word. It's a spirit choice. See, when you understand that, then you'll understand that this instinct called faith will express itself in the most inopportune time. Now, I don't know why people put faith in the future. I mean, it has the ability to create a future, but it wasn't made for the future. It was made for the now. Now faith is. Now, not now, faith might be, you just never know. Shoot the dice, maybe it'll work. No, now faith is a substance of things. Things. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. God Almighty having things. Church world does. Boy, the secular world does. Let me tell you, when we moved, I don't know where we parked the plane, somewhere there. Is that where FBO there? Ken, I see Ken. I don't know, but anyway. They're glad to be there because we're going to have to buy some fuel. See, really wealthy people don't, you know, it's the people that think they got a little money. Wealthy people go, well, that's what you need to do the job. It's just that simple. Is it luxurious? I guess so. Not to me. When I look at it, I go, I got to go to work. That's work to me. See, that's what I mean. See, your faith in him. And I love this. And his word makes you a catalyst for miracles. Let me tell you one of the greatest miracles happening in my ministry. I've had a lot of them, you know, over the years. We went and preach. I was asked to go down the bayous of South Louisiana, talking Cajun country. New Orleans is Creole. There's a difference between Creole and Cajun. See what I'm saying? And they talk like that when you get down there. I'm going to throw you something right now. Pass yourself a good time with me. I'm going to pass by your house. You know what that means? They're coming over. Not passing by. That's a Cajun. See, just the way it is. So we went down there, and the place was jam-packed because the priest of the parish, we don't have county. Louisiana is the only state in the United States that has parishes because of the Archdiocese of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. He said, we like Jesse. He's still Catholic. But they didn't throw me out when I became a Protestant preacher. I was christened and confirmed. As far as they're concerned, I'm Catholic. That's okay. I ain't got no problem. Do Catholics believe in Jesus? Yes. Answer the question. Do Catholics believe in Jesus? Yes. Methodist? Yes. Baptist? Yes. Episcopalian? Yes. Presbyterian? Yes. Church of God? Yes. Church of Christ? Yes. Word of faith? Yes. Full gospel? Yes. Assembly of God? Yes. Church of God of prophecy in Christ? Yes. Oh, we got a lot of them, don't we? I think that's pretty confusing to the Buddhist. But maybe not, because they got so many gods themselves. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Well, I go down there. Holy Ghost moving, man. I mean moving. Well, I see this lady, and she has a dress that you wear when you're pregnant. And she looked about 8 months pregnant, 7.5, 8 months. I mean, you could see her stomach, you know. I never thought of it. So I'm walking down there, and I'm just praying up. So Kathy was there, and I just looked at her. I said, you ready? She was a Methodist. I didn't know that till later. I said, you ready to get touched by God? Huh? I said, Jesus, touch her. And her stomach went flat. I saw the dress go. I thought, my God, where the baby? Maybe what happened? Did the baby go underneath the Did it go underneath the chairs? I mean, I'm looking. I swear to God. Whoa! You know, and she screamed like I've never heard someone scream in my life. And her daughter, I didn't know that was her daughter, said, screamed. Everybody, I mean, loud. But I'm thinking, oh, my God, where's the baby? Well, you know, it was pretty. And Kathy was there. And I mean, the place was going nuts. Finally, I said, ma'am. And they got her up off the floor. She got knocked out in the Holy Ghost. And I said, I didn't want to say it. Where the baby? You know what I'm saying? And she said, I want to tell you something. She said, I had a 7-pound inoperable blood tumor. And couldn't, if they would have cut on it, she'd have died. God instantly healed her. And she said, we're Methodist. Isn't that something? Well, I just gave God a job. Now watch this. 2 years later, maybe 2 or 3 years later, we went down there and preached again, but not in the convention center, but in the church, because we had a friend that asked to come. So we were hungry after we were going home. We were driving home, and there was a pizza inn, I think, or Pizza Hut, something like that. I said, let's go in there and get us some pizza. We hadn't had that in a while. So, and this is like about 10 o'clock. I think it closed at 11. We got there about 10:15. So we're sitting there, and this lady comes up to us, and she says, oh, she said, do you know who I am? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't. I said, no, ma'am. She said, I'm the lady with the 7-pound blood tumor, and I'm still healed. Well, you remember that guy? It was such a wonderful thing to see that, see? What we did was give God a job. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? My God, man. You see, when you know what you want instead of what you need, then you'd be able to ask God the most unbelievable, impossible, yet doable things. God gave me that statement. Believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable. See, you're a catalyst for a miracle. So get ready for persecution, but so what? Percy's not cute, so who cares? It doesn't really make that much difference. Let me say this, and then I want to close, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. When you are firm in your faith, you're prepared to meet any consequence or at any cost. It doesn't make any difference when you know what you want. You see, when you don't let time defeat you, Satan will walk away from you. You'll say, man, I just can't seem to get to these people. But when God says something, you know when God says something. You witness that in your spirit. You know it. Yeah. Well, how come it hadn't happened yet? Well, I don't know. That has nothing to do with it. See, now you're looking at time instead of looking at what your faith is doing. Yeah. See, having done, who don't want it yesterday? Yeah. Everybody wants it yesterday. We Americans, we created fast food. Yeah. We created McDonald's in the 50s in Los Angeles. Us. You understand? Yeah. It all came from America. There's going to be a new one called Tossa Burger. You drive by, they throw it in your car as you go by. I mean, because you get mad if they spend more than a minute fixing something. What's your problem? There's a problem in Australia, and they got it from England. Y'all believe in hot drinks. It's hard to get ice in here. Can I get some ice? 2 cubes. What? Now, get me some ice. Yeah, but you're not going to get a lot of Coke. I don't care. I want some ice. So she brought, remember, a little pitcher of ice. So I took my Coke and I poured it in the pitcher. You're going to use all that ice? Go get some more. We like it cold. Why? I don't know. We just do. So when you see that, see, you just give God a job. Oh, let me tell you what happened to us. Was it yesterday when we did that about that food? This just happened. We got into a, how you say it, Canberra? You know. I know exactly what I'm doing. Well, when we got there, they had closed the kitchen. And we had to eat on, well, we had some breakfast, but it was pretty late. And it said, well, you can get a few appetizers. That little fast food, fast little finger food stuff. Well, we wanted more than that. So this man come over. I said, are you our waiter? He said, well, no, not really. I work here. And I said, listen, my wife wants a cheeseburger. And y'all got some fish and chips and stuff like that. Oh, yes, sir. He said, the kitchen's closed. And then, my past came up. What is What is it going to take? See, I was raised on the streets of New Orleans with La Cosa Nostra. You know what La Cosa Nostra is? The mafia. You do what you got to do. I said, I want the kerchief open. I said, you want to make $100? Huh? I said, you go tell that chef, I'll give him $100, and I'll give you $100. See, now, you know, most people don't understand it, but you see, when you're raised like I'm raised, a little grease makes a machine run real easy. You just need a little grease, you know. So, they said, he said, I'll go do it. So they went, he said, what do y'all want? That cheeseburger cost $200. I said, well, then everybody got some food. It was very good. Kathy wanted the cheeseburger and some fish and chips. And I don't know, everybody had some stuff like that. Man, I immediately gave them the money. They couldn't get up there. My God, man. Why? We wanted a cheeseburger. But it was closed. Give God a job. And the Lord told me to read it. He said, bless them. Bless them. And I'm going to make them an offer they don't refuse. Man, I mean, and we started getting stuff. I mean, French fries, everything you can think of, you know. And my director, he's Australian. Nah, I don't want nothing to eat, but I noticed he was eyeing my fish and chips. I said, well, I'm not going to eat this. Okay. And he ate half Kathy's burger, too. But he wasn't hungry. Huh? It was kind of funny. It was a blessing. Well, we all got to eat. We were full. It was a blessing. It was nice. So when we went to get to the room, I went to the kitchen. I said, where's that chef? And it turned out to be a lady, a little Chinese lady. She goes, hello. I said, I'm the one who gave you $100. I want to thank you that you did. I never had nobody give me $100 to make a cheeseburger. I said, well, girl, you sure did a great job. She was blessed. The guy that was a waiter who wasn't a waiter, he was blessed. Kathy was blessed. Russell was eating all the scraps. He was blessed. I mean, we're just enjoying ourselves. What did we do? Gave God a job. They could have said no. But why would they? I wasn't expecting it. You see, I control my destiny and my destination, not the world around me. My daughter says that all the time. Dad, everything you touch seems to prosper. I said, well, Jody, I create my world. And then I walk in it. And that's just a fact. And when you understand that, then you'll understand how is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, and I read all those letters you gave me, you know, as we're coming from the airport, because I think Russell was lost. He didn't know where he was. You know, Russell goes, we don't know where we are. and even the thing that you use it, what do you call that? Yeah, it was lost. I mean, sending us down roads we didn't want to go. And all that. But we finally made it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's amazing how people, you know, we got in my room tonight, and my Lord, we're about ready to unpack, and the phone rings. You got the wrong room. I'm coming up to get your key. I said, okay. So they came up with the key. You didn't know that? Yeah, got the wrong. So she said, you're not in whatever the number was. You're over here. So I said, oh, okay. So we opened the door in the new room. It's exactly the same as the other room. Am I telling the truth, guys? Exactly the same. No difference. I didn't say nothing. I thought, oh, Jesus, help people here. Exactly. You know, I thought, well, okay, I don't care. The room's nice, you know, whatever. You know, exactly the same. God's got a sense of humor. I could hear God say, we're going to make him move to the same room, four rooms down. Yeah, and they were a fruit basket. Thank y'all. Now, when I was in, it said Russell and Kay. I saw the name tag on that. But then when I got to the room, that's exactly the same. It said Jesse and Kathy. So I ate a couple of y'all grapes. And then I got to the same room. Exactly the same. Ate a couple of more grapes. Then they put something in there I ain't never eaten in my life. It looked like a cookie with corn flakes on it. I said, fluorinated. I mean, I thought to myself, this is healthy. Forget about the chocolate on the bottom. It's healthy. Eat this sucker. It was just great. But I had a hard time because Kathy was eating it by chunks, man. You give me a little bite. I never had that. We never had that before. So it was really an experience in the same room. It was a blessing, you see. So when you understand, that's what God was telling Abraham and Sarah. I don't care if you're 90, and I don't care if you're 100, and I don't care if you haven't had sex in years. Well, now I'm going to touch you, buddy. And God touched Abraham. Amen. And Abraham walked in that tent. Sarah looked at him and said, ooh, get down with your bad self, Abraham. And Isaac was born. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. Yes. Did you enjoy it tonight?
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Give God a job. See, I mean, it's just so simple. And all we do. You know, a lot of time I'll go up to the cockpit. And I know sometimes I go up at the wrong time because they're busy, but they're nice. They'll pull. And then when I see they're real busy, I'll back off or something like that. I mean, I just kind of watch them work, see how they do. And sometimes a light will come on, and I'll come up and go, what's that? You know, just trying to get a little information. Not that they can't handle it. They can handle it. That's not the issue. I mean, if it's something wrong, I wouldn't really know it was wrong. You know what I'm saying? And they just tell me. Like you, Kathy, you did something today that kind of disturbed Ken. You open up the luggage door, and you must have been back. I mean, you were back there a long time. How long does it take to change a dress or get some? And finally, I saw Ken looking like the light been on for a good while. But she said, when Kathy's messing with clothes, it takes time. So I turned around, I could see Ken. Ken went, he said, I mean, the light. I said, she's been back there a long time. Oh, okay, I got it, you know. And finally, she closed the door, the light goes up. I mean, anything, that plane's going to tell you something if it ain't working right. You know, it's amazing. It has always a little signal. And you didn't know that. You didn't do nothing wrong. But we thought, what's she doing? Sitting in the luggage compartment? You know, counting bags? What was she doing? You know, I don't know what she's doing. You know, because I heard this now. And they said, with the 7X, you got to be careful. Sometimes they say if you're up at 45, 47,000 feet and you go into the luggage compartment, which you can go back there and change clothes, and the door closed, sometimes you got to spend the rest of the flight because of the pressure. Now, I don't know if that's true. Ken, you ever heard of that? I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, whatever, you know. But I tell you what, if Kathy got caught back there, we'd hear her, bam, bam, just beating the door down, you know, go open up the door, you know, that kind of stuff. See, so you give God a job. Now, I know y'all been through some hard things because of your government. Nothing wrong with the guys or the women, whoever it was. They just got in fear, and the fear hit you. But you're still here.
Amen. Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you can get back everything you lost.
Amen.
If you let God do that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And when you understand that, God's word is true. In just a minute, we're going to receive an offering for this ministry. Now, why that? It's not about money. See, it's about sowing.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yes.
And I'm going to make an announcement, and most people will, and I said it the other night when I was at Rhema there in Brisbane. Most preachers will not say with this when they're about ready to receive an offering. Are you ready? I don't need nothing. Nothing. But I want a lot of things. No, don't say I'm greedy. Not for me, for the ministry. I want more partners so I can reach more people, change more lives, one soul at a time.
Yes.
And I want you with a 100-fold return.
Yes.
The Bible says some 30, some 60, some 100, right? Well, since you got a choice, yet most church people wouldn't even get to a 30-fold, much less a 100-fold. Now, I get a 100-fold all the time. I just get blessed. You're looking at one blessed puppet. Jerry Savelle used to say something to me, and he was so funny. You know, he'd say this. Jerry was a collector of things. Thank you. He was a collector. I mean, he loved old cars and motorcycles. I mean, he said, I had a shop. And he had no shop. He had a museum.
Yeah.
You know, now me, I don't have a. And Carolyn would say, man, Jesse don't. He don't have that, but you know, I mean, I'm talking beautiful motorcycles. I'm talking beautiful vehicles, which are worth a lot of money. But he tells me, he said, Jesse, you don't get it. He said, well, Jesse gets his cash, sacks of money, come to him. He said, what's in the bag? I said, I don't know. I mean, people just walk up with a bag full of money. I've walked in a mall, walking down once, I got $14,000 given to me before I got to the end of the mall. Didn't ask for nothing. People just coming up. Hey, you Jesse the Prince? Yeah.
Here. No, I don't want nothing. No, nothing. Zero. I don't mean that privately. This anointing of increase is on me.
Amen.
In 48 years of preaching, Peter, I have never had a financial deficit. That's unheard of. Amen. Why? Because I got more faith than you? No. I just didn't believe for it. Yeah. Why would I want to believe for something I don't want? Yeah.
That's right.
I don't want none of that. I just want to go do my work. Good Lord, man, this thing's tight. I want to go do my work. Must be eating them cornflake cookies there. That's what's happening here. Y'all want some? You're about ready to get blessed.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's on me, baby. Don't. That's not arrogance. That's not cocking it. It's just simply the truth. How many of you want to be debt-free? Well, let me give you an announcement. The homeless is debt-free. You ain't believing for nothing to be debt-free. Why don't you believe to be debt-free in the amount of money you're in debt? Have that in liquid finance somewhere in a bank somewhere. Ah, now you're believing for something. He said, do you understand what I'm saying? And then the Bible said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So I'm going to ask you to give, not to me. You could if you want to. That's not the issue. But no, I just want to reach people and change lives one soul at a time. And I want you with 100-fold. I don't get nervous when Kathy goes shopping. I don't care what she wants. She can have it. Now, when we first started out, we had nothing, but not no more. We started giving. And we didn't let time defeat us. Remember my brother-in-law said, y'all shouldn't tithe. Y'all need, remember that? Kathy would take our bills. This is, what, 1975, 76, something like that. And he said, man, don't tithe. Are you crazy? And I said, Jules, he was a lawyer, very smart. I said, one day, I'm going to have so much. I'll bypass you. I'll fly past you. Because he did very well. They can't even get close to me. And I don't mean that pridefully. And I said, God, why do you bless me so much? He said, because I can trust you. And it's just such a blessing. Yet, I mean, I like nice things, but I can sleep on the floor. And I am made for the road. I can sleep. I sleep like a horse. I can be standing up on one leg. Gone, man. I mean, I just grab it when I can, you know. You just do what you got to do. Kathy gets so mad at me because she takes time for her to go to sleep. My head, 30 seconds. First bounce, second bounce. You better say something because the second bounce, gone. Get up and refresh me. Praise God. Let's go through this thing. So I'm going to ask you to give today. Do they... Y'all give out envelopes and stuff? Is that how that works? Okay, look on the screen. No, that's my scripture on the screen. No? There ain't nothing on the screen. Y'all pray for it. Lay hands on her eyes. She ain't nothing on it. Anyway, you know how to give the Australian way. You know, just put a shrimp on the barbie. You know, whatever. I don't know. And we ask you to do your best. Don't give me anything that belongs to breakthrough. That's tongues to me. I don't know. Okay, you can use that to get. Don't give me anything that belongs to the church. You think God's going to hurt Peter to help me? No, we're on the same team. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, it's on me, baby. I told the people last night, just because I came there, you're going to get blessed. Oh, man, you can get ready for persecution. Who do you think you are? What God said. Oh, do you know something about Jesus? He was poor. Really? You know, in all his earthly ministry, he never had a financial deficit. And what does Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says? Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
God's word is true. Now, you don't want to believe this? You don't have to do anything. I will not be disappointed. But I've made up my mind. God sent me here. And I'm telling you, it'll get off of me and get on you, and you'll wonder,
Amen. How
did that happen?
Amen.
You receive the person in whom God has sent. I don't know if you saw the celebration of Brother Jerry Savelle's life, and Terry Savelle Ford, she calls, she says, you know, but just you, my second dad. I may need you. I said, call me anytime, Terry. It made no difference, you know, even when Jerry was here on the earth. And I didn't know this had happened years ago. Just a minute. In just a minute, we'll tell you how to give. We were at the West Coast Believers Convention, and Jerry preached, "Where are the prophets? Where's the prophet Elijah?" Something like that. And I came up right behind him, and I preached a sermon called, "What in the hell do you want? What does hell have to offer that you got to go back there to get it?" Well, Jerry and him went to the book and resource table, and this man walked up there, and he said, "Give me that tape. Where the hell is Elijah?" Did y'all see that? I lost it, man. I couldn't get over it. No. And Jerry goes, no, he didn't say that. Where the hell is Elijah? Just give it to him. You know, people say, that's cussing. No, he just got mixed up. But God didn't. And the sermon blessed the person. Are you ready to give? How many people ready to give? Now, look at me. You've accepted God's way of giving. I leave the amount up to you. Now, will you accept God's way of receiving?
Amen.
And are you willing to take the persecution? If somebody said, "I just think you got too much," you can't believe for that. Yes, you can. All things are possible to them that believe. Everybody say all things. All of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. So get your offering ready right now, and you can do it the Australian way via the, whatever that word is, EPROS machine at the rear of the auditorium. BSV, what does that mean? 033113, account 155843. Oh, this is like speaking in tongues here. Give online via QR code, or now I know what www is, .breakthrough.org.au, Australia/give. And then this here, you got to be a Pentecostal to understand that. You can scan that. I don't know what that is. What's that, baby? That's a QR code. It's in the queue. So I just ask you to do your best. I've asked the Lord for every dollar given to me to give me a soul in the kingdom. You give me $1,000, forget about American and Australian and pounds, euros. Look, this is where you live. An Australian dollar is a dollar. Well, you know, yeah, but the American, forget about one being more than the other. That's ridiculous. You live where you live, and that's how it works. So if you give an Australian dollar and an American gives an Australian dollar, in God's eyes, it's a dollar. Not one worth more than the other and all that kind of craziness, you know. So I just want you to do your best. I want you to be blessed. I mean, I flat want you to be so blessed. And I tell you what, I can pray for that. And I'm going to do that. Are you ready to give? Go ahead and pass those offering buckets, whatever y'all do here. Do y'all do an offering bucket? Listen, I'd get involved in this. Well, I don't have much. It don't take much. What is an oak tree but an acorn that held its ground? Acorn this big, build that big old tree. What a blessing of the Lord. So we just ask you to do your best, whatever that may be. Please, once again, don't give me anything that belongs to y'all church. I'm not going to hurt this church to help me. Y'all believe for breakthrough. I gave a prophecy. One day you'll own it if you'll believe it. Why come it's taking so long? People not listening. I don't have any more faith than you do, but I might have a little more obedience. I want you to expect and believe. I'm not touching any of this money. Am I right, Russell? In fact, I've invested over $5 million in this thing that by the American office that we hadn't got back yet. Well, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, it don't make no difference. I want you to know that. People say, well, I think one time when y'all do your audits and all that kind of stuff, this is years ago, man, what that, you know, it wouldn't be for the American office. This office would be insolvent. I said, no, it ain't got nothing to do with the American office. It has to do with God. God said, go. You know how I hired him? You know how I got Russell to work for me? I went and I came here with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle. We went to the International Believers Convention. He was my driver. He would pick me up and bring me to the convention center. Russell and Kay. Russell. And I mean, they had come to, I don't know where y'all was staying. I mean, it, you know, just barely get by. It was rough in those days. And I think it was the first 2 years. So he was bringing me in, and I just walked up to him like I walked up to the door. I said, "Russell, you want a job?" He went, "Huh?" I said, "I'm going to open up an office in Australia, and our office is in Maroochydore, Queensland, on the Sunshine Coast. Everybody wanted me to go to the Gold Coast." I said, "Is there any other coast?" They said, "Yeah, there's the Sunshine Coast. Let's go there." You know, the Gold Coast is kind of like Honolulu, and the Sunshine Coast is like Maui. It's slower, and I like that. So I just looked at him. I said, "You want a job? Am I right?" Russell, he said, "I said, you think you can do this?" He said, I've never done it before in my life, but what I will do, I'll give you my best. I said, that's good enough. How long ago that's been? 27 years? 27 years ago. Isn't that something? And when I hired him, he had brown hair. He had brown hair, and I was 20 pounds lighter. I'll tell you what, a stone. I can't say anything. No, that's 14 pounds. I like the way y'all say 14. 14. 14. I said, 14? No, 14. That's what I said, 14. So just ask you to do that. Who are you offering up to the Lord? I want to pray over it. And if you're using your device to do that, look at me. I'm not playing games here. I was going to preach something else, and the Lord said, you preach that. You're not a partner to this ministry, become one. It's not about money. I just want that anointing to come on you that's on me. I don't struggle at all. And you ready for this? This is going to freak out a bunch of people. I never will. See, I complete my destiny. I reach my destiny. But the devil, I don't worry about the devil. The devil's under my feet. I ain't got time to talk to him. Don't pay no attention to the fool. You understand what I'm saying? Just don't pay no attention to him. And he'll do everything he can to try to get your attention. Don't pay attention. Lift your hands up. I want to pray for it. Father, thank you today for this offering in its entirety. God is going to reach people. It's not going to touch me and help me. Reach people and change lives one soul at a time. Bless this country. Bless this city and all that the COVID took away or whatever, Lord. Bring it all back. We caught the thief, so it's got to come back seven times. Lord, I thank you for it. I believe you for it. I call it done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a great God bless you for that. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy it? Stand to your feet right now.